Pickaxe.
Oh man, I just did my mark like right at the start of my audio feed. It's incredible.
Oh,
that's a great mark.
That's a real smooth. Fucking.
You know what? That's the mark of a pro. The mark of a pro.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've been doing this for a long time now. 99 episodes, this is.
What are we going to do for the 100th?
Well, I talked to Tom Hazel about it, who edits it, and he said,
Don't do anything. Quit. I hate the show. I'm sick of editing it. I'm done.
Well, I thought we could do the thing we used to do, which is tweet out, and then people could send us their favourite bits, and we could talk about things that they people, I don't know, like people have got stories. Basically, I looked at the Patreon today, this morning, just now, and there's a guy called Josh Hanley who messaged, and he said, hey guys, just want to say thanks to you guys in a major way.
Right.
About a year and a half ago, my grandma was diagnosed with late stage ovarian cancer.
Oh,
well, fuck, have we started?
Yeah, we started.
Oh, shit. I'm so sorry, I was reading something. Hi, everybody.
Oh, but you were recording, right?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Oh, thank God.
As my grandpa had a stroke not too long ago and was unable to drive, I moved back in with my grandparents to help them out with driving to appointments, to and fro, etc. During that time, me and my grandma drove to a seemingly endless amount of DOTS appointments, tests and chemo sessions. This gave me a chance to become closer with my grandma and also gave us a chance to listen to every episode of the Triforce podcast.
Oh my
God.
And we
both loved it.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My grandma's favourite episode was the one with the Portage serial killer.
Whoa, his grandma's listening to the Triforce podcast?
Yeah, they're doing
but
it
we
in the
did
car.
The thing about old people fucking in the old folks' home and stuff.
I know, I'm sure
That's why she was listening to that.
We can't be worried about that stuff.
Finally, a podcast about old people fucking. It's about time.
Oh, man,
I've been waiting.
That's ruined. Oh,
we carved out our niche. My grandma's favourite episode was the one with the Portage serial killer. Since we are Canadian, she loved to laugh about the idea of a Portage serial killer with her friends and family.
Right.
She's since lost her fight with cancer. Anyway, thanks for providing me and my grandmother a lot of hours of laughs and entertainment. There you go.
Well, I'm glad she enjoyed it.
So, yeah.
But fucking hell. I didn't realise the audience was going to involve people I was talking about listening to the show.
Well,
I thought it was just a bunch of nerds on the internet like
doing?
Me.
You don't have any control. You can't put like a questionnaire like before downloading this podcast. Are you between these ages? Like every segment of the population that we've offended. We've like slagged off millennials. Like
who hasn't though? I mean, come on.
Despite the fact that we are, basically.
Well, you are,
and
yeah.
Then we've slagged off dads and mums and kids and brother, we've slagged off everyone. Come on, no one's safe. I'm surprised there's anyone listening at all at this point.
There isn't. No, that's the thing. I don't think there's that many people.
99 episodes of gradually whittling down.
All that racist and misogynistic stuff we've cut as well.
We are so out of touch. I mean, it's crazy.
I think we're bang on the zeitgeist.
I think you know what? I'm finding it harder and harder to relate to younger people now. It's a sign of my age. they come at me with all this stuff and I'm just like, what?
I think that's the ultimate old person saying.
Yeah.
I'm finding it harder and harder to X.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, sustain an erection or, you know, hold my pee.
Man, just the stuff that young people waste their time being interested in reading and stuff as well blows my mind. Like, I would never. Like,
youth is wasted on the young. That's right, Sips. That's another old person.
Wait. What kind of stuff do you think they're reading and doing that's no good?
I don't know, man. Like, this all, you know, like, this, last week I was talking about that guy's crying about Star Wars, that kind of shit. You know, like all this, like Marvel and Endgame and Game of Thrones. Like, get over it. It's a TV fucking series, and it's ending this season. Like, Jesus Christ! Like, why do people just lose their minds about this stuff? Like,
I was very annoyed at people's reaction to that episode. There was a lot of nerdy, like just noise.
Yeah.
People whining. I don't understand it. What are you moaning
fucking
about?
Find something to do. Jesus Christ. It's gonna be done in 3 episodes, and then you're gonna have to find something else to do with your dumb fucking time.
But
so
more than that,
figure it out.
It's really fucking good. Like, are you serious? Like, I don't think they remember how shit TV was for how long. It's only in the last 20 years really TV's been any fucking good.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It was awful.
We don't know how
for
good we got.
For most of the time TV's been around, it's been fucking awful.
I appreciate how good we have it. You know what? I watch my stories and I love them. You know, I think back think back to when I was a kid and how bad bad shit was, and now I'm like, I'm living the dream.
This is why grandma can relate to this fucking podcast. Yeah. She's like, I agree, we're period. TV's not what it used to be back in the day.
I'm
when
saying
you
it's
had
better.
Oh, it's better than it used to be.
Grandma, I'm
it's
saying
way
it's
better.
Better
than it used to be. Back God, in
the,
grandma.
When you had to, we had to hold the aerial out in the garden and see if you could get a signal, and even then, old, what's it called? Two House on the Prairie. Wow, we all used to crowd around
the box.
On the
prairie.
We had a four-inch screen. It was 4 inches wide and 10 inches deep.
Two houses.
Greedy. Man, it's like those people who use two crutches as well. Fucking so greedy. Just use one, you baby.
Yeah, just favor one crutch over the other. It's easy.
I mean, oh, jeez. Look, we are living in a blessed age, and people are upset about everything, and they like to complain. God, we'd love to complain.
Oh, my God.
It's so satisfying.
I love complaining. I'm complaining about complaining. That's how far we've come.
Yeah, that's how circular complaining has become. We're living in a blessed age in some regards, but shit's really bad in a lot of other ways.
Yeah.
I think that's what's fed into it. It's like the whole world's fucking falling apart, and we're part of it falling apart, and it's all falling apart in really fundamental ways. Not just like these trade union laws should be changed. This shit, like the ocean is dying.
I love how you use your like 1930s American voice for that.
Colonial. Yeah. Well, those natives seem to be very, very upheavy this time of year.
So that's the kind of stuff that's like, yeah, it's bad, but geez, now it's like, oh, by the way, all insects, all plants, and all people are going to be dead in 10 years is like a standard headline. I'm like, oh, fucking
great.
God.
Yeah, nice.
But there's a great deal of denial as well, isn't there? And I think saying something like that is so unbelievable.
No, there isn't.
That kind of feeds into the like narrative of like, it can't be real. You know, people are very like, meh.
I was just joking. I think I agree with you. I was just trying to, because you were saying denial, and I was denying. See what I did there?
Oh, I see. Yeah, that was a denying joke.
I get it. I was just joking, though.
That was good. Yeah, I get it now. Thanks. At the time when I was on an angry rant.
Yeah. No, I had to point
really
it out.
See it.
I had to bring you down. I had to bust you down a peg or two. You were just, you were really up there. Fucking.
Yeah, shoot him down. Oh, shoot him right fucking down.
Trying to bring you down.
I'll tell you what I saw today. I walked into the office, and there's a seagull. And
in the office?
Well, there's always like a seagull around the outside of the office.
Yeah.
And he's always had like this this like sort of bit of wire like wrapped around one of his legs.
Oh, right. Man.
And I was like, oh. I in my head, I was like, okay, I don't think it's possible to hold that seagull down and get that bit of wire.
No, it absolutely is not. They would peck you.
I would get...
He would peck the fuck out of you.
It would be a disaster.
That's it.
Oh,
that's...
how bad can it be? It's a little tiny bird, for fuck's sake.
Holy
it's
shit. A huge seagull.
Yeah.
You ever been pecked by a goose? It ain't that bad. They're not that fucking strong. It's a
goose.
I'm
not going to fucking dive on a seagull in the middle of Queen Square and try and like get a bit of fucking
next
barbed
time I'm
wire.
Down, you like point this fucker out to me.
Squawking and
pin
feathers
the
flying
down,
everywhere and Lewis is screaming.
And we'll get that wire off him. I'll do it.
Anyway. I hadn't seen. Well, next time you're down, we'll fucking team up.
We'll
team
get a
up
net.
We'll
fucking get
him.
I was watching. I don't even know why. I fucking hate the show, but it was on TV before something else was on. It was you know, Watchdog. You know, like the one where they talk about like
the police one.
No, not Watch. That's Crime
Watch.
Watchdog is the one where he goes and says, Mr. Benson, why aren't you returning your customers' calls? And he goes, get the camera out of my fucking
face.
Well,
no, that's Rogue Traders, but it's become a segment in Watchdog now. It's
that
not
bloke.
Its own show anymore.
Jeremy something, I think his name is.
Sure, yeah.
Curly hair.
So anyway, so they're in London, and it's the Rogue Trader this week is a chimney sweeper, okay? And he plants dead birds in the chimneys to try to, like, sell like all this stuff. Yeah,
like
yeah.
Santa, like
yeah,
evil
yeah.
Santa.
He goes into like this old lady's house and he's like, okay, yeah, let me just have a look. And then he like pulls a dead pigeon out of his bag. He like puts it in the fireplace. He's like, oh, look, what's that? She's like, oh my God, there's a dead pigeon in my fireplace. He's like, yeah, you got a nest up there. You're going to need to get a blocker up there and you're going to have to do some roof work. So like he uses it to like upsell like all this other crap that people don't need.
And then when he gets home, he puts it in the fridge in like a white envelope and says, do not eat or whatever.
So his big thing is, you know, these dead birds and planting dead birds and stuff. So the way that they catch him is they invite him over to a house, a staged house. And then they're like, oh, can you have a look at my chimney or whatever? And so he's looking at the fireplace. And then like this fake dead bird drops down. And then that's the cue for the dude to run in and be like, oh, excuse me, Barry. Excuse me, Barry. You realize you're ripping everybody off, right? With these fake bird planting things and stuff. And you know, he's all caught out and stuff. And he's like, you know, they're grilling him hard, you know, putting him on the spot. The cameras are all in his face and everything. And his excuse, on the topic of birds is he'll do anything he can to ensure the safety of every wild creature on the planet. And that's why he does the things that he does, because he cares so much about wildlife and he doesn't want birds to die in chimneys and fireplaces. Yeah.
He's an eco-terrorist chimney sweeper.
He's caught so fucking red-handed, okay? Like, they've just got this mountain of footage and evidence and everything against him, and that's his defense. He's so fucking passionate about it, too.
Do you know what that is? Like, that is the delusionary thing that people convince themselves in their own head that they're not doing anything bad.
Oh, my God.
Everyone convinces themselves.
Yeah. But then goes on to actually try to sell himself as, you know, some sort of fucking wildlife evangelist or something. You know, like, he's just like the nicest guy on the planet, just so caring about wildlife, and it's unbelievable.
That's beautiful. You know what? Fair play to him for that attempt. Do you realize you were speeding at 103 miles an hour in a 40 zone? Officer, I care so much about hitting children, I figure I better get through that area as fast as possible to minimize the chance of seeing any children. That's my goal here, officer. And you want to stop me? You want to stop me from saving the children?
I've just had passion dripping out of every pore.
If I spend less time with that zone, there's much less chance I'm going to hit a child. So.
Exactly. It's logic. You know, it's like running in the rain. There. Less likely to hit a raindrop if you get out
quick.
I mean,
you can justify anything if you have the enough warped logic, you know. It's weird. Anyway, so I've seen this pigeon for like a year or whatever, and I hadn't seen it for a while. I saw it this morning, and in good news, the wire that was twisted around its leg
has gone.
Wait, I
thought it was a seagull.
Seagull.
Okay. Wait, let me get that. I bet all the other seagulls are now sporting the same fashionable wire on the leg look.
Oh, like a little ankle bracelet.
Yeah, he's like a trendsetter.
There's probably a lot of seagulls listening to this right now saying, how dare you mistake seagull for a pigeon and stuff, and now they're all up in wings.
Actually, our peck is very dangerous.
They're big fucking things. They're like a small dog, seagulls. Jesus. Anyway.
They're not scared of eating shit either, like actual full-on shit from a diaper or like...
They're carrion eaters or something, aren't they, basically? I mean, they'll eat fucking anything.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah, I've really seen them eat anything. Anyway, they look great. They're all like, they look very... This seagull, by the way, so to finish the story... It's the wire's gone, but so is the leg.
Right.
So it's just got like one leg now and a stump.
Oh.
And it's fine. Obviously, like, it still looks great. It's like, it looks like the healthiest, fattest seagull. Yeah. It doesn't seem to need the other leg.
Give him a little leg. Maybe you could, you could whittle one at home and then bring it in. And if you, next time you see him, just pin him down and install it for him. And then he'll have a little peg leg. Just,
little bit of well, that's the thing they do like 3D print. I saw like a toucan.
Fuck woodworking,
but
right?
These toucans have these huge like plastic beaks, right? They're kind of like, if you've ever seen them, they've got this there's a few cuddly toucans and stuff online, and you can see what their beaks are sort of made of. They're kind of weird, but one of them cracked his beaks. Apparently they can crack quite easily,
right?
And so someone like 3D printed a new one and like glued it on.
No. Okay. No, they didn't.
They did.
No, they didn't.
No,
they really fucking didn't.
I don't believe it. Looks,
what they did, someone 3D printed a new beak for a toucan.
Come on,
how's it gonna open? Like, you can't glue
what kind
a
of
fucking...
glue did they use? Just like,
it's,
you know, like
top
crazy
bottom
Dave
bits.
Super glue from the
that's
town
ridiculous
store.
That's like, the what? Stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard. There's no way.
Thing is a thing. They did it.
No,
they got a toucan.
I love how defined. No.
Here's from the Wikipedia about what seagulls eat. I love this addition. Okay. The food taken by gulls includes fish and marine and freshwater invertebrates, both alive and dead, terrestrial arthropods and invertebrates, insects and earthworms, rodents, eggs, carrion, offal, reptiles, amphibians, plant items such as seeds and fruit, human refuse, chips,
yes,
and even other birds.
It's a big part. Even other birds, just cannibalism at the end there.
Chips, very specifically.
Delicious chips.
The common seagull, Gullus maximus, is mainly comprised a diet of chips, human refuse,
fecal matter from a diaper or from a grown man's ass, fresh.
And car crash birds.
Car crash birds.
Comma fresh.
Chips. Brackets. Salted. Vinegar preferred. Close
oh
brackets.
My God.
The common London pigeon feasts usually around 2 a.m. on the vomit of a drunken kebab eater. Can you imagine David Attenborough doing that?
Fuck's sake. Pigeons don't eat that much crap, though, dude.
They eat a lot of shit. I mean, like, there's bear in mind there's a lot of different kinds of pigeons.
They want to eat bread and seeds and stuff like that, whereas
they're
seagull
not pigeons,
just,
though. They're not pigeons.
Well, a seagull will lick up barf.
I'm sure they'll eat
they'll
it.
Give it a go.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Why not?
The pigeons you see ain't pigeons, man. They're rock doves.
Right.
Is that true?
The pigeons that I have in my garden are wood pigeons. That's a pigeon. Big, fat, pleasant thing.
Why did you have to go, like, all street just for that brief moment?
Well, I didn't go street.
Yeah, you were like, you
I
were
didn't
like,
call you blood.
The rock doves, rock bruh, doves, and stuff like, yeah, just for like a very brief
I
moment.
Said they're rock doves, innit, mate?
You went like a little
dead
bit
pigeons
street.
You see
I
in
live
the
in
street.
London. What can I tell you? It rubs off.
Can't help
I know,
it.
But
don't
like,
vex me, bruv. All right, don't vex me.
All right,
yeah, don't get up in his grill, or else he'll blat you.
Okay, well, I mean, I didn't mean to offend. I was just pointing out. It's just an observation that I made. It's...
Don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah,
so, all right, okay.
Yeah. Good idea.
I'll refrain in future.
There's all sorts of shit going on. I mean, the thing about like the world going like people are kind of getting angry about.
Right.
There's a good thing about people getting angry about ecology, especially like there seems to be a good environmentalist movement, right? That yeah. seems to be taking a bit of steam, and there's some really good initiatives going on. I've seen a lot of people cleaning up beaches and canals and things.
Good for them. There's wet wipes everywhere. Like, they all need to be removed.
If you talk about the fatbergs again, I'm quitting the podcast.
Those ones in the sewer.
I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. It's disgusting, and
we've covered it. Solidified fatbergs.
The problem I have with the environmental movement is it's all young people, and God bless them, they can't do shit.
And they don't know shit.
Like, you need some crusty old fucks that actually have power and money to get behind it, like a lot of them. And if you don't do that, the young people are going to fucking give up. That's the sad thing, is they're right, but it's going to absolutely run out of momentum. Once they get married and have families and careers and shit, they're going to leave all that behind. You're going to have to hope another generation of young people. Nobody listens to young people.
No, it's true.
Even
Nobody
though they have the most to lose, because they're going to be living here a lot longer than we are. No one fucking listens to them.
No.
So all these kids are coming along. They're right. They've got a tiny voice, unfortunately. There's no political fucking willpower behind
this.
They're
not really helping themselves, though, with the TikToking and the Fortnite. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not helping themselves. That's what I'm saying. They're not... You know, they're not cool. They don't listen to good music.
It's good. I was in London the other week. We tried to cross Waterloo Bridge and it was shut because they had the extinction protest guys there. And the whole of Waterloo Bridge was shut. The police wouldn't even let you walk across it because they were trying to clear it.
Yeah, that's why there was, that's why we didn't have, there was 2 weeks of no Triforce podcast as well because of those protests. So we couldn't get to our...
our internet cable runs right across that bridge.
We couldn't get to our recording space because of protests.
But it's bad. I mean, all that I heard was cabbies moaning, oh, bloody protesters, fucking job, sick of it. I'm like, well, they have a point. You know, you're just not listening because they happen to inconvenience you. My mates, fairly liberal guys, someone screwed up their journey on the train. That's it. Fucking protesters. I think, well, what are they meant to do? No one's listening.
It's
no politicians are fucking listening.
It's meant to be a disturbance. It's meant to raise awareness and, like, you know, and that's what it's done. Like, sure, you've said fucking protesters, but in the back of your mind, you're like, yeah, they're probably right. I don't think anyone's saying, oh, you know, I think they're just annoyed that they've been inconvenienced. I don't think they're, most people are protesting for good reason.
I think people know that unless the actual movement comes from the top, and they and I mean globally, we're fucked. It doesn't matter how much we protest. They're just not going to listen. I feel really bad. It sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
We need a meteor. Big meteor. Change
well,
over.
Well, I mean, it's something's eventually going to happen, right? I think the Earth will just, like, somehow correct itself, whether it's, like, that or...
No.
Flooding or an ice age.
It's not like the Gaia, where, you know, the Earth is like some living thing that just says, right, fuck this, and just clears out and washes everybody away. You know,
I think it is. I can't back that up scientifically, but yeah, I feel like the Earth is.
I wonder why.
Think of how incredible this planet is and the shit that happens on it, okay? Like, shit that you've never even heard about. Like, there's a million shits that happen every day on this planet that nobody knows about, right? How the fuck can you tell me with a straight face that it can't somehow just correct itself, like, one day?
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Yeah, I think it can.
No, you're not serious.
I think it could.
No, I don't believe you.
And I think it could just be
itself by killing all humanity.
Yeah, absolutely. And then going I think back it could easily do that. Yeah.
So you think the planet is intelligent?
No. I'm not saying that the planet has, like, this fucking brain where it's like, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm saying that it could just fucking, something could happen where, like, enough of the ice caps melt and enough flooding happens where it, like, wipes out a large part of the human race, or an ice age ends up killing, or climate change right. leads to, like, a massive drought and everybody starves
things,
or whatever.
How many of those things you've listed do you think are things the planet is doing, or things that we're doing to the planet?
Things that we're doing, but I'm...
Right, so we're going to do it, is your point.
I think that the planet will, like, live on beyond us, though. Like, I don't
think
that we'll destroy
it. Of course, but it could be a ball of rock with
no
life.
That it's been around for, like, millions of years, right? So, like, it has experience.
Billions of years. Billions of years.
It has experience, right? So, like, it knows how to deal with invaders.
It's old, is what you're saying. It's like a gran.
I'm not saying that the planet is intelligent enough to know what's happening. I'm just saying that it
back
has
in my
cycles.
Day, we have the dinosaurs. They were just fine. Why do we need all these humans hanging around on this fucking planet?
Yeah.
I was good with these trees for ages. And then there was some big triangles with all yellow. They were okay, I guess. And lots of slavery and stuff.
I think
got TVs and internet and turtles being strangled by barbed wire.
Yeah.
I'm not on board with this. People are just dumping rubber ducks in the ocean for no reason. What's going on?
That's true. They do dump a lot of rubber ducks in the ocean for no reason. But I think it'll be fine. Unless it gets hit by a fucking asteroid the size of Texas or whatever.
I mean, if you're talking about, is the Earth structurally going to be here even if we are all dead? Of course, it's a planet. Like, but that's not shouldn't be our goal. Our goal shouldn't be, well, the planet's still going to be here.
I'm not saying that is our goal. I'm pretty convinced that we're going to kill ourselves. I'm just saying that, like, I think that the planet Earth beyond all that will be fine.
You think humanity is fucked?
Yeah.
But yeah, the planet will fix itself.
Well, great. That sounds great. I'm so glad that after we've all wiped ourselves out, the fucking Earth is
here. I'm just saying that if you're worried about the planet, don't be. It's going to be fine.
Oh, I see.
You should worry about yourself.
What's the point in it being here if we're not here? It's just another empty planet in a fucking empty universe. What a goal. Sorry, lads. Planet will still be there.
I don't know why you're so obsessed with a goal. I'm not even talking about a goal. I'm just saying. Like, people are, like, really concerned about the planet, but I think the planet will be fine.
It won't be fine.
It will be fine.
I like it.
It'll be fine,
Flax.
Like
this makes sense to me.
In another billion years when we're all dead, it'll be fine.
What's the most amazing thing? What's the most amazing thing about the planet Earth, do you think?
Elephants.
I think that, like, the fucking algae that grows in the ocean and fucking produces, like, all these, like, beautiful colors and oxygen and, like, all that kind of shit.
So life.
I think that's
life on
insane.
Earth.
I think that's right. Fucking nuts.
So let's say that life on Earth is the most amazing thing about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just another ball, right? It's an amazing thing. And you're saying, well, if all the life gets wiped out, planet will be there. It'll sort itself out.
It'll create new life.
That's a terrible, terrible aim.
It's not an aim. It's just a fact. I'm not saying that we're striving
That's not like an uptick. That's not like a...
I feel like we're inevitably heading towards this, like without being goal-oriented about it sort of thing. It's just a fact. Right. It's a fact.
Not, it's not a good fact. It's an incredibly depressing and
I know
sad
it's
fact.
A hard one to hear, Flax, but... You know,
I'm unhappy
the way,
about
the
this.
Way it goes. You know, we sit around on computers all day and we fucking eat like takeaways and we use like all this shit. We're asking for it. It's going to happen. We're all going to die one day because of our indifference.
Hubris.
It's really depressing. It's really depressing. So I've been talking to Dr. Simon Clark, who is, you know, he's just
say
a
it.
PhD. He's PhD in climate science.
What does he have a PhD in?
Climate science.
Right,
like climate,
okay,
climate,
good.
Yeah, kind of that stuff.
Nice.
And so he's
did
quite
he
knowledgeable
say to you,
about...
Lewis, and I'm just paraphrasing here, planet will still be here, won't it? It's all right.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Well, that's what SIPs... I mean, if probably the best way to save the planet is to get humans off it as quickly as possible, mm-hmm. right? So, you know.
Yeah.
But no,
please let's not do that, all right? That's the worst political aim I've ever heard. Like, you can't go to before the Houses of Parliament and say, we're going to pass a bill to wipe out all humanity,
the human race,
to save
yeah.
the planet. Yeah. Great. Let's fucking vote on that.
Let's do that.
Idiots.
That there's a lot of like stuff that you could do that he sort of thinks that, that could be done to sort of try and curve out this problem. But like to we are going to have some big problems with climate already. It's kind of a bit runaway. And sometimes some of the studies I read on the internet today, that some there was this study that was written by someone, and people who read it were so depressed they had to have therapy.
God.
After like reading it.
Yeah.
It was like so bleak. But there's always like a scale of science. Like some of it is quite bleak, some of it is quite negative. But mostly it's there's no real positive science towards climate change, right? No one's saying, yeah, that's good. This is a good thing. Let's burn a bit more coal.
Yeah.
No one's really saying that. But I think that one of the things he mentioned was trying to reduce the amount of like cows and stuff like this, right? Because they produce a lot of like methane.
Yeah.
And also there's like
never going
good...
to though. You have there's 8 billion people on this planet who rely on cows and all of the products that we get from them, right? It's never yeah. going to happen. It's like,
well,
hey, Flax, stop eating meat. No. Okay. This, cool.
We'll just keep
having lots of cows.
I don't eat much meat. I don't eat much meat.
But like,
I genuinely don't.
Okay. This week, like Burger King, have announced they're going to start running these Impossible Burgers, which is the one I had in San Francisco, and that's like a vegetable, like a corn burger like thing. And it's I couldn't really tell the difference. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't have like the fatty lumps of gristle in, which is one of the big things I used to hate about meat burgers. You know, I felt like it was pretty like legit, and apparently like it's done really really well, like to the point where they can't satisfy the demand for it. You know, all it takes is like a kind of shift where a massive corporate business just switches out, you know, a huge segment of meat for, you know, meat alternatives.
Yeah.
And you can have like quite a big swing, you know.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time,
but that's my point, it needs to come from that kind of angle, corporate and
yeah.
big business and politics.
It'd take way
and
too
hopefully
long,
that's
though.
The
that's
kind
the,
of thing we can see coming along.
The problem is it's going to take forever for these shifts to happen, because they're all off the back of profits, like all the time, right? It's not.
Yeah, but it's a lot cheaper to make a vegetable
burger. Never coming from the point of view of we need to make these changes desperately now and in a big way to avert this crisis. It's all coming off the back of how can we fucking fleece more people for more money? Okay, let's think about it for 60 years
maybe,
and invest in it.
Maybe young people complaining a lot about the environment and being more environmental will force the hand of these big businesses. It's not granddads
yeah, yeah.
buying burgers all the time.
Yeah, it's going to take too long, though. It's too long.
I don't know. Hopefully it'll happen soon.
I think that's a very cynical attitude. Like, nothing gets done if people say, oh, it's not doable. Like, I think that, of course, we have to tax things that are bad. Like, that's the thing. You have to put, like, a tax on carbon. You know, things that cost... that are very polluting should
yeah.
be more taxed, you know, just to discourage them and get people to find alternatives.
Discourage them, but then you get like Volkswagen put those fucking devices to cheat the emissions tests.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with just a bunch of fucking cunts who are only concerned with money, and they're not concerned at all with the environment, and even less so with fucking human life and well-being.
But I don't think
and they cheat because they have a lot of money and power and people who are fucking stupid enough to do it for them. And that's what's going to happen time and time again.
I think that but the thing is, it's only a couple of people, and that is part of our system where corporations are not necessarily evil. They're just faceless. They just make money for the shareholders,
evil.
Like a robot.
They are pretty evil.
You know? Like, mostly they are evil, but there's only one or two really evil people running them. It's not a conspiracy of thousands of people. It's mostly just blind people. You know, evil triumphs when good people do nothing. Classic.
What if
classic.
Good people help the evil? Then it's even better for evil, right?
Yeah. Do you know what? Sometimes, like, the opposite effect has... Maybe we need, like, an evil climate corporation.
Yeah, maybe,
To, like, you know...
I think we do.
Second.
I think they're called BP, aren't they? There's a few of them.
No, they're called Peter.
Peter.
Yeah. We need, like, an evil, like, eco-terrorist SPAC. Whatever happened to them? there was like movies and stuff where eco-terrorists were going and rescuing animals and monkeys out of labs.
Like in the 80s, right? Like
we were rescuing monkeys from labs. I mean, that was like pretty low-level environmentalism, wasn't it, back in the day? You know, for every monkey they rescued from a lab, probably like 1,000 more
were
collected.
Man, I can't believe that shit's still, it's still going on. You know, like there's still labs in the world now for like these big companies where, you know, they're testing things on animals and stuff, and you just think, well, how the fuck in 2019, how is this still happening? It's crazy. Like we should be beyond it, but you know.
Money. I watched another thing about money this weekend. I listened to a podcast called The Dream,
right?
And it's about MLMs, like basically pyramid schemes.
What's an MLM?
That are legal. So like these days there are, you know how, okay,
MLM,
multi-level marketing.
Mama likes money.
So, oh my God, that's what it should stand for. Holy shit. So basically like the idea is that they are direct selling. So for example, a mom who's staying at home, she can like get hold of her other moms to buy makeup off her or whatever.
Amway, right, is a thing.
Amway is the classic one.
Right.
And basically there's anything that is illegal because it's really addictive or it's really like, you know, we put a limit on like stuff, but the things that are right on the borderline, okay, like that are really addictive and bad for you, but they make millions and millions of pounds of profit if they're just on that borderline, right? Like, I don't know, like Fortnite is basically loot box gambling in video games, right?
Right.
Should be illegal, but it's right on the edge.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Therefore, it's massively profitable. And it's the same thing with these MLMs, which are basically pyramid schemes, but they've managed to like just stay on the edge of legality for so long.
But how do people do pyramid schemes still, though? Like, hasn't there been enough jokes about how bad they are, like, over the years?
Did you see that episode of The Office where Michael Scott is describing the pyramid scheme he's involved in to Jim? And he says, no, look, let me explain it to you again, Jim. And he draws, like, here's Steve. Steve gives me and this other guy some customers, and then we go and find more customers, and he draws it out, and then Jim just draws a pyramid around it all. And Michael goes, I've got to make a few phone calls. And you realize people just get sucked into shit like this.
I guess so, yeah.
People are very, very convincing. There was this guy, God, this was I can't remember if it was a John Ronson podcast I listened to. He convinced this woman that he was a spy. I don't know how you ever go for that as your go-to opening gambit lie, but the guy convinced this woman he was a CIA agent. He was under deep cover, had to disappear for weeks at a time for work, and he had to be really secretive, and he took loads of money off her, like loads of money, and don't worry, you'll get it all back from the CIA. She believed the whole thing. One day, he's been gone a couple of weeks, a woman comes to the door and says, are you Tina? And she's like, yeah. And she says, well, I'm Terry's wife, and he's been lying to you and telling you that he's a CIA agent. He's not. And she believed the whole thing, lost like, you know, loads of money and stuff like that. And this guy was just able to fucking lie to her face day in, day out. The most stupid fucking lie you've ever heard. Like, if I said to you, lads, I know I haven't told you this before, but I'm a CIA agent under deep cover and I need £100,000. Would you believe me?
What are you going to do with it? You're going to rescue some monkeys.
I can't tell you at this time.
You know what? I would just not give you... I wouldn't give anybody money. That's the thing with me. Like, it doesn't matter who you are or what you need. I'm not going to give you any
money. What if you walked into a shop and purchased something? Then you would give them money.
Well, that's different, though. That's like that's a traditional
transaction. I just
want
to say you do give people money from time to time.
But what I'm saying is, even if I know you very well,
right,
and you say to me, I need like a grand or whatever,
right,
I would just say, sorry, I don't have it.
Let's say that we were in love,
right,
or you were in love with me, yeah, right? We were in a relationship.
Okay.
And
you're married.
Pillow talk. And I convince you that I need this money, that I'm in the CIA.
Yeah.
Do you think it's possible?
I wouldn't.
Do you think there's any world in which you would fall for that?
No.
But there are people out there who will. There are just people who are very trusting and
you're
sweet.
You're Brad Pitt, Sips. Perian is Angelina Jolie.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You're Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay.
You're a secret
agent.
Why do
I have to be the woman?
You could be the secret agent, Sips. Right?
I don't mind which one I am. No money is changing hands.
I'll be Angelina Jolie. I'll take Angelina.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan. Like, she's nice, but she's a bit of a nut. But sure, if I have to be Angelina Jolie, carry on.
You're lying in bed.
Yeah.
You look into you rub your hand across his bald head.
Whoa.
I'm rubbing my titties.
You look into his eyes. You stroke his beard gently,
sure,
and he whispers to you, "Lover."
Wow.
I need
oddly aroused. Right,
I need
now
some money for my CIA thing. And he's and you know, you've got loads, you're good for
you
it.
You know, like, what I'd say?
You know, you'd do anything for
me. In that case, I'd say, lover, loving you, but I'm broken. It ain't no joke. I can't lend you the money. I'm sorry, you're gonna have to go and take out a loan from the bank.
What if I leaned even closer and said, hey, would you like to purchase some kitchenware from Amway?
Would you do it then? No, I don't think I would. I'm not super like generous with money and giving money away to people.
Are you all right for money, Sips? What if she said, are you okay to get some money from me?
I'm only all right from
is it like with, the reverse
for
scam?
Money because I don't give money away to people stupidly. That's why I have like enough money to survive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if somebody came to my door and was like,
you're quite not frugal. Giving it away.
I'm
yeah.
a CIA agent. Can I have 20 grand or whatever? I would be like, no, sorry, I can't.
He just knocked on the door.
I can't afford to do that.
CIA?
Yeah.
Oh, hello. Can I help you? Yeah, I'm from the CIA. I need $100,000.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I think it was more complicated than that, although yeah. I think that's worth a shot. I think it might work.
No, I would. I definitely wouldn't. I think like, I don't know anybody who's like, I don't have any friends or family who have ever asked me for money. Like, that's a completely alien. I've never asked anybody for money and I've never been asked for money, which I think is a great place to be in as an adult.
It's got to be hard to ask for money, and I'm sure it has to be done. But I think what these MLMs do is they kind of are that, right? They're like, someone feels like they're these women who've been told that they can run their own business, work from home, and it all started in Utah,
right.
Okay, with all these Mormon wives who were kind of expected to be the housewife still.
I think the only thing close to that I've ever had is when you convinced me to do YouTube stuff, but it required no money up front from me.
Oh my God, you know what I mean? The Oddscast was the MLM.
But you know, you were just like, do this, but I thought about it, I was like, okay, like, it's just my time. I don't actually have to give any money or whatever. It may or may not work. I'm not too bothered either way, sort of thing. So yeah, I'll give it a try, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And now I drive a Porsche and I fucking live in a mansion and stuff. So it's like great. But at the time, you know, it wasn't like, it still wasn't one of those things where it's like you have to pay, you have to invest into it, sort of thing. And then hopefully get your money back or more or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's, MLMs aren't necessarily like that. They're more like these things nowadays, okay? The way they sort of work is they have products that are obviously really shit cheap knockoffs from China that they put a big markup on, right?
Right.
And as a you're effectively a reseller, your own independent business reselling their goods, okay? And the idea is that you can get it cheap from the person above you, and you also get more people on your, they call it the upline and the downline, right? And so, but the definition of a pyramid scheme is that you will spend more time recruiting people and selling to those people than you do selling to other people. So right. It's not like you're setting up a market stall and selling to people, you know, it's or going online, making your own online store for it. It's you're actively recruiting your friends and you're selling to those people. You're selling to your friends, which is kind of bullshit, and also pretty devastating for these people, because the markup on these things is excessive. There's very small margins for the people who are doing the selling. The push is to recruit more people into this scheme. And what you end up doing is you end up alienating yourself from all of your friends. I think, and friends and family. I think a lot of time when you come to your friends and family and you say, "Oh, I need money," they're like, "Oh, that sucks." But if you maybe I'll help you out. But if they come to you and say, "Oh, you know, do you want to buy these things?" It's kind of, to me, it's like, "Oh man, you must be desperate to have to come to us and say, oh, you know, do I want to buy some makeup off you?" And a lot of the time it's going to be like, fuck no. But
I don't know, like, I just like anything that involves somebody trying to like sell you the idea, like, you must just be a bit dubious of, right? Like, it just some things are just too good to be true, right? Like,
I think this is one of those things where people really want to be able to feel like they're in control of their career, right, and where the money comes from. And if you sell them this idea, them this idea, you'll be free from this, you can work your own hours, you make as much money as you put into it, blah 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 blah. That's like a compelling argument, especially in America, which has a real kind of mentality of like self-starter and I'm going to start a business and blah blah blah. And these people are extremely good at selling. Like, for this has been going on for 2,000 years or more, people selling people dodgy shit and telling them, look, this is win-win, you know, and people love to hear that.
And the way the pyramid works too is that you get your friends, you teach your friends how to sell to their friends. You know, it's all about teaching to sell all the way down that chain.
Yeah.
And it basically just ends up with you kind of ruining your friendships with friends and family kind of thing and going in the hole because you buy all of this product that then you can't sell back for all these various reasons. Okay, so they're trying to like, oh, I don't know, it's all like some of the people who originally like started these MLMs, like I think is it Betsy DeVos? I think she's now one of the, she's runs the fucking country in America.
Yeah,
she's like
incredibly
like the famous, fucking Treasury Minister or some shit.
She's
I don't
a Secretary
know
of Education, but she's a fucking moron. So there's that.
But she was like the DeVos family got their fortune from Amway, yeah, from running these pyramid schemes. Like I mean, I'm not sure you're allowed to call them pyramid schemes because pyramid schemes are illegal, but they are so close to being pyramid schemes that like they are just all they do is cause negativity, right? There's very few companies like that you bankrupt the staff, right? Do you know what I mean? Like Burger King, let's just use that as another example because I'm still thinking about going and having a veggie burger. Like I haven't wanted to go to Burger King for years, like absolutely, like I there's no reason I would ever want to go into Burger King. Do you know what I mean? Just because it's just so unappealing to me, even when I did eat meat. But now I'm thinking, damn, if they've got like nice vegan coconut and soy burger, fucking great, bring it, I'll do it. But yeah, the employees of Burger King, none of them are told to come to work and then they work all day and work hard and they get like 2p at the end of it or whatever, and they're like, what, how come I only got 2p? And they're like, well, we didn't say how much you'd make or anything like that, you know, if you obviously didn't work hard enough. It leaves these people with this sense that they, this kind of, it's kind of like gaslighting almost. It's like, you know, that they're always told it's their fault in these MLMs if they can't make any money out of it. But the reality is that only the 0.2% at the top actually make even a living wage.
So
like,
here's
even when
the
you've
thing.
Got like 3,000 people in your downline, you're still barely making a salary.
Right.
You know? It's so skewed.
So Amway had revenues of $8.8 billion last year. So the company at the top level makes a fucking fortune, right? The guy who set it up, Richard DeVos, one of the richest people in America, is a billionaire. He owns the Orlando Magic baseball team, right? He's the 60th wealthiest person in the US and the 205th richest in the world. How many people that sell Amway stuff can say that they actually make good money?
Like, it's like a
it should
like
be
a
so
tiny,
like, he
tiny
just stands
fraction
there and says, look how successful I am. And everybody goes, yeah. And you think, but hang on, how come everybody that works for you, like I'm not saying every employee of a company is also going to be a billionaire, but the whole point of Amway is that you're meant to get wealthy from selling shit, right? And obviously it's all being funneled massively towards the top. They've been, if you look at the Amway fucking history, look how many investigations and legal things and lawsuits and shit that are super fucking shady. I don't understand how you could still fall for it. I really don't.
Well, I think it's because people don't think there's a problem with it. And I think people are very, very tempted in by their friends doing it. They're like, oh, well, she said she's doing it, she says she's doing well out of it, you know. And it's something to do as well, I think, like honestly, like, you know, for a Utah mum who's, you know, due to her religion is forced to stay at home all day and do nothing, she wants a job, she wants a freelance thing, you know. Maybe she can make things to sell on Etsy, but maybe it's better to just sign up with these things and try and sell them to all the people at the church. And, you know, like, I'm not saying like that. It's something to do, PFLAG. See, people are sometimes just bored.
That's the problem,
and they
want to
see if they can make some money and try and pay the bills.
This is very true. Boredom cannot be ruled out as a motivator.
It's
to,
true,
to make
yeah,
people
I think
just
that's
think,
a big...
fuck it, I'm so bored, why not? You know?
Yeah. Sorry, Sips. We bored you, I think, with that.
No, it's fine. I came back. I woke up. I didn't get much sleep last night, you know. So, you know what else as well, guys? My parents have been over this week, and it's killed me. It's absolutely destroyed me. I don't know what it is with people visiting. I find it so utterly draining. Like, it's just crazy.
So did they came back with you? Did they fly back?
No,
with
they
you
didn't.
From Canada?
When we were in Canada, they were there with us for the first 4 days, I think it was. And then they flew off because they went on a cruise, an Atlantic. They went on this Atlantic cruise, which then ended in Portugal. And then from Portugal, they flew up here for 10 days or whatever. So they leave on Sunday. And it's Thursday today. So I still have a couple of days with them.
I like how you're counting
days
till they're
gone. You do.
It's kind
of
like...
It's good for a couple of
days. I don't know.
But,
I don't know if you guys are in a similar situation, but I see them for like a week every like year, sometimes 2 years. So it's like, I'm not used to being around them really. A lot of the conversation is just because I speak to them like on WhatsApp and stuff. So like every once in a while, it's just like, oh, hey, have you watched Game of Thrones? Yeah, I watched it. Okay. You know, just shit like that. So it's always like a lot of the conversations are like these big like explanations on why we live where we live, or like why I'm doing this or why I'm doing that stuff, and it's like,
do you have to like justify it's cool and everything. Your life a
no,
bit.
No, I don't have to justify anything. They're like they're pretty like, yeah, they're pretty laid back and stuff, but it's just like, I don't know. It's like you feel like you need to keep them entertained because they've come from far away and stuff. And I don't know. It's just like
you feel a level of responsibility that they're having a decent time on Jersey, and they're sure, kind of like,
and like I partly feel responsible for that, and like part of me like recognizes that they're fully grown adults who could probably entertain themselves as well.
They've managed it for 70 years.
Figure out how to do stuff or whatever. So it's not so bad. It's just draining. It's just really draining. Like, it's just a lot of FaceTime where, you know, normally I would just be fucking sitting on the shitter, like, you know, playing an iPad game
playing
or whatever.
Escapes.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it's a break in your normal routine that you just about.
I love my parents. I like seeing them for about 2 days every 6 months. And any longer than that I'm in proximity with them, I just want to strangle them both. You know, and they're moving down actually to Bristol.
It may not be so bad, actually.
My mum's sort of making interludes that, oh, I can pop down whenever
maybe
you want.
Maybe if you
and
see
like,
them more often, it gets better. Okay. I don't know, but like, It's not bad, but it's just tiring. And because we've got the kids and stuff too, and you know, they want to have like these like quality moments with them, so we have to set those up and stuff. And
are they kind of a little bit I don't know, like judge you a little bit? Kind of do they sort of give you advice that you don't need, or
no,
are they kind of just trying to help out?
Not really.
Like,
no,
give
not at all.
Like,
really,
tips.
Actually. No, it's no? Just like
when my mum comes to stay, I have to stop her doing stuff. She wants to do so much, and she's kind of old and. She's got arthritis and stuff. And I'm just like, would you fucking sit down? Like, we barely finished dinner and she's loading the dishwasher. And I actually want her to not. I want her to come up here to relax. She spends time with the kids. That's what I want. She doesn't sit still. And it actually drives me angry. I'm like, drives me crazy. I get angry with her. I'm like, would you stop helping, please? I want you to be old over there and just chill.
Go to your seat. It's like having an extra kid in the house. Yeah, fucking hell.
My wife's parents are a bit
and
like
she's
that.
She's much fussier than the kids. Like, yeah. Everything has to be just. That's the way old people are.
No. What?
She's like, she has to have the right kind of milk in her tea and the right kind of milk in her coffee. One for one for the other. I'm like, what fucking difference does it make? Just put up with it. But she can't. Oh, you haven't got the right milk. She goes straight out to the shop. Oh, you know, it's just like, can you just get by? But she can't. She cannot do it. And that's the problem.
At least she goes and gets it, though. Like, at least if she wants it, like, you know.
Yeah, but I don't want her dragging her old ass down to the shop to get the right kind of milk. It's milk.
Oh, for fuck's sake. My wife's parents are a bit like that. But I think it's because we see them regularly. They're a lot more hands-on and helpful, which is great because it like takes a load off us. But with my parents, we barely see them. So they have no sort of in for being helpful. You know what I mean? Like, they can't just like start doing something or offer to like look after the kids or whatever, because like fucking every time my kids see them, it's like been so long that it's just almost like they start from scratch sort of thing. So it's not like, oh yeah, can you just like look after the kids all day? They'd just both be crying because it's like effectively strangers looking after them. Sort of, you know what I mean? So it's like hard for them to get involved and help and stuff. And it just feels like, I don't know, it just feels like extra work on top of like already a lot of work sort of thing. Whereas my wife's parents actually come in and like ease the burden in a lot of ways because, like I said, we see them often and they just come in and they know how to help.
You're used to that. Whereas I think it's like you're on your best behavior. It's like you're going out or you're meeting someone for the first time and you're on super polite behavior. Yesterday, like we had the Cancer Research UK people came down.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And there's like some three guys who were really like really nice and really sort of, they brought us the little, they'd done like a fan art of the Yogscast. Like someone in their office.
Were me and Flax in it? Were we part of that?
I don't know, right? If you were, actually.
I feel like me and Flex get left out on a lot of stuff.
I feel like we're
remote.
So they kind of picked like 7 or 8 people, and it looked like something that a 15-year-old fan might have drawn of us sort of. And it obviously, like, it was a nice idea. It was like we were doing sort of cancer research science, or at least contributing to it. It was a nice idea. They framed it. And, you know, it was like £1 million to cancer research. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. Thank you. And then sort of they were like, do you want to go out for lunch? So I was like, sure, I'm not doing anything. So I went out for lunch with them. And I was just, but if I was on just like super, they were super nice, super polite people. And obviously they work for a charity and they, obviously it's a good charity. And I was just, I don't know, I was just on super best behavior the whole time.
Right.
I wasn't really making any rude jokes. It was like I was going out with my mom.
Good for you. You didn't,
do you know what I mean?
Well done.
One of them to suck your dad's dick or anything like that.
It was kind of awkward though. It was kind of awkward to, but I felt like I wasn't being myself. Do you know what I mean? Around them. And I feel like they knew who I was because they must have watched like the streams and stuff and watched some of the stuff where I wasn't. I'm not, when I'm on streams and stuff, I'm not on super best behavior. You know, I'm kind of on super best behavior with strangers. Though, do you know what I mean? Like, or with like people who don't know who I am or people who like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you put on this like, almost like an act.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I'm not a nice person as default, but like, it was like I was meeting the queen. Do you know what I mean?
I felt
like I was meeting the queen and I was like on an unusual level of like,
you were
like
on your best behavior.
I think the best way to be like in situations like that, and I think the way that gets the most results is to act like you don't care. Like, not be rude about it, but just like even if you met the queen, just be like, no, oh, hey, you know, hey. Like,
yeah, is that what you do?
Oh, I would. Guess. Yeah, yeah, I would. Because then I think that she'd be like, hang on, why isn't this guy kissing my ass? Like, what's up with this guy?
Yeah,
he's
so
not being
rude
about it.
You think the queen would have more respect for you?
Yes.
She'd be like,
yeah.
Wow, he must be special because he doesn't. I think
and
she wouldn't give a
that
shit.
That could lead into, I think I need somebody like that on my team. And then and then she'd be like, hey, you wanna be like my minder or whatever?
Do you wanna wear this big fucking big hat thing? Yeah, do you wanna wear this big fucking woolly hat? Yeah, put this uniform on and stand in this box.
Let me just check my diary here.
We got an opening
Tuesday,
for a prince, actually. You up for that, Sips? Do you wanna be a prince?
You've got the kind of shitty attitude we need in the royal family.
I think so. You know what? I think we've had conversations with Lewis in the past on like gaming, Tinder and stuff like that. Honestly, I think it would work on women as well. I think if you act like you're just not interested or whatever, that's more attractive
to
a woman.
No,
I think
a
woman would like fall.
So
head
to
over
come full circle.
You idiot.
So to come full circle, I think if I met Josh Hanley's grandma,
right,
you know, I would just be very on my best behavior. But I think she'd be able to tell because I think she'd listened to all the podcasts and she knew that I was a bit of an asshole. And I was kind of able to like make more.
No, I mean,
I don't think
if I ever met her,
tell
I'd just
that
be
I was
like,
fake,
I'd
you know
act
I mean?
Like I. Secretly, I'd be like, fuck me, I'm meeting Josh Hanley's grandma. This is amazing. But outwardly, I'd be like, yeah, hey. Yeah.
You feel cool. Like a teenager.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like that with anybody. That's going to be my new thing. I'm going to do that from now on and see if I can reap some.
You won't last 2 minutes.
Like a grumpy teenager who's suppressing his coolness because he thinks that that's like kids. Only kids show excitement and emotion about things.
Oh, my God. Yeah, kids just go crazy. They go bananas about like the dumbest things, though. Like, I think there's, you know, I think I want to be the polar opposite of that. I want to be so sort of like, bleh. You know, like fucking, you know, so like Obama like comes to your house for a state visit and you have to like cook him up some hot dogs.
Yeah,
you got to cook him up some hot dogs or something. And then he turns up and he's like, oh, yeah, I was really looking forward to these dogs. And you're like, forgot to make them.
That's what it was like when I came round.
On your state visit to Sips' house.
You know what I mean?
Fuck it out.
I think it can work. I think more people should be like that. You know, it's like a good, I think it's a good defense mechanism as well, because you're never like overextending socially either, right?
Yeah, no one would figure that out.
Somebody's like, this guy sucks.
No one would know.
This guy's not interested in anything. You're like, yeah, well.
Yeah, you'd think, he's definitely not putting this on and trying to appear too cool for school.
Well, hopefully not. But I don't know. It's like,
That would be a good one, I think. I think that's
well, there you go. That's our podcast. Next week will be our 100th podcast. So I thought you guys could tweet us, tweet at me and Sips and Pyrian.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, God.
You're currently still tweeting us your pictures of where you're listening
I
to
I love those
podcast,
still.
Which is
they're
amazing,
awesome.
By the way. Keep
they're
those
really
coming.
Good, yeah.
I love seeing like just random people's workplaces or views out
the
window.
It's always like these like vast fucking countrysides and roads,
I know.
People commuting.
Yeah. Please just keep sending those because that is really nice to see in my feed every day.
Yeah.
Like a couple of people's pictures. Yeah. And so please do send those and send in your favorite moments and we'll go through and read some messages. As always, you can support us on
do we have something special planned for the 100th episode or not really? No.
No, I was just gonna do people's favorite bits really and just just read some messages and shit and talk about.
I've got some ideas.
Okay, Flax.
I might discuss them
with
you guys. I've got a couple of ideas.
Yeah.
All right. No, that sounds amazing. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, everyone.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye,
see you
friends.
Next time.
Love you lots.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.